The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you folks this morning. And probably when I call home later today and tell my family and my children that there's enough snow here to make a snowman, why, they'll probably be jealous. But that's fine. The high place of respect. Like was mentioned, our subject for this year is counted worthy of all honor. And we're looking at respect. Last evening we looked at it somewhat, and we want to look at it again today. I'd like to give you three scenarios. I'd like you to think about them. The first one, there is a man who can hardly say a sentence without using God's name in vain. He swears, he uses God's name in vain, he doesn't even think about it. But he's continually cursing and using God's name in vain. You have another situation where you have a man with his family going down the road, and they were exceeding the speed limit, and they see these little lights flashing, and they pull off and go through the situation there. And as they pull away, the father says, "Dumb policeman." You have another man who was in church Sunday morning with his family, and he was not impressed with the message that morning. And as him and his family sit around the lunch table eating lunch, he begins to say how stupid the preacher is. What do these three all have in common? I'd like to have some response.
Lack of respect.
Lack of respect. Someone back here.
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. Not only the first one we can say, yes, it's disrespect for God. But you realize that the other two are just as much disrespect for God. Our key verse is 1 Timothy 6:1. It says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." This was written at a time when they were slaves. These servants were actually slaves. And sometimes there would be masters who would own slaves who were Christians. Sometimes you would have the slaves who are Christians. But he says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor." Notice he didn't say if their masters are good, if their masters are Christian, if their masters treat them well. He says, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Honor is esteem of the highest degree, precious, dignity. That would be the definition in Strong's. Webster says, "Respect is to feel or show honor or esteem for, hold in high regard, to show consideration for." So we're looking at every person needs to be regarded highly. We need to have consideration for every person. The Amplified Bible says like this, "Let all who are under the yoke as bond servants esteem their own personal masters worthy of honor and fullest respect, so that the name of God and the teaching about Him may not be brought into disrepute and blasphemed." And I'd like us to think about the connection between our disrespect for anyone and the reflection that puts on God. There was a tremendous responsibility in this time for the servants, the slaves, to honor and respect their masters. And it is the same responsibility that's placed on every one of us. We are to honor and respect authority over us because of God, His name, and His doctrine. Now, the next time you are tempted to disrespect someone or authority over you, remember the way you respond, the way you either respect or disrespect that authority automatically reflects on God. I think it was last evening, Jonas said that whenever we touch someone, whether it be by words or by actions, we touch someone, we touch God. We touch the handiwork of God. We need to remember that. This is true in the home. We are to respect one another. You know, sometimes in the home we think, well, we're at home. And we can do as pretty much as we want. But we are to respect in the home. We are to respect in the church, in the school, and in the community. And we so often do not connect disrespect with blaspheming God and His name. The high place of respect, this is contrary to our culture. And you all know that. It used to be that respect was a part of our society. You respected authority. You respected older folks. You respected those in charge, those who had responsibility. But it's not that way anymore. The hoary head is no longer respected. Authority is not honored. People are not respected. It's a time whenever children do what they want, say what they want. It's a time whenever the idea of you're not going to tell me what to do. No matter who you are, you're not going to tell me what to do. That is very prevalent in our society. But you know something? God has not changed. God is still the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Counted worthy of all honor. God revealed Himself through creation. And His creation gives glory to Himself. We are to honor God. We are to honor God, first of all, for who He is. But God's name is to be honored. And in creation, He revealed Himself. And then later on, whenever God was revealing Himself through the children of Israel. See, first of all, God revealed Himself through creation. And then, later on, He destroyed the world with a flood. He saved Noah and his family. But then He decided to reveal Himself through a nation, through Israel. And God was calling Moses to leadership, to lead the children of Israel, especially lead them out of Egypt. And God came to Moses in the desert and was talking with Moses there by the burning bush. And God was telling him to go and lead His people. And the question was, how will the people know that You sent me? And in Exodus 3, 14 and 15, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He says, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Notice, I am. And He always is the I am. He never changes. I am, His name is holy, His name is eternal. And it's interesting, whenever Jesus was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, they were giving Him a rough time, and He was trying to reveal Himself to them, reveal the Father to them, actually. And he was telling them that they are their father, the devil, because they lie, and the devil has been a liar since the beginning. Then He began to talk about Abraham. And they says, you mean you know Abraham and you're not yet 50 years old? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I'd like to look briefly at the Ten Commandments. God was revealing Himself to the world, to the children of Israel. And He gave the Ten Commandments. And see, God wanted it, God's name needs to be honored and respected. But it was not happening. So God gave the Ten Commandments. First one is no other gods. We are to respect God. Respect who He is. No other gods. Nothing is to take His place. Nothing in our lives dare take the place of God. No graven image. We are to respect God's person. We are made in the image of God. We are to respect one another. But God is the one who gets all of our honor and glory. We are not to take God's name in vain. We are to respect His name. We are to keep His Sabbath day holy. We are to respect His work. I believe that God created the world in 6 days. Then He rested the seventh. And when we honor that principle of one day and seven, we rest and we keep it holy, we are respecting the work of God. We are to honor father and mother. Respect parents. Now we start going from God to each other. And definitely the way we honor God will affect the way we honor one another. Do not kill. We are to respect life. Earlier I mentioned that our society does not respect and honor God or one another like they should. In a country, it has become legal to kill unborn babies. In this country, it's legal to do that. But it's not legal to leave your truck run in New York City, to turn the truck motor off if it's too hot or too cold with a pet in the truck. In New York City, if you have a pet in the truck, you may leave your truck running to cool your pet or to heat your pet, whichever. But if you're there by yourself and have no pet, you can only leave it running 5 minutes. But in the same society, it has become legal to kill unborn children. We are to respect life. Do not commit adultery. We are to respect the home. And by respecting the home, we respect God's faithfulness. Because the home is a type of Christ in the church. And Christ is faithful. And if we are unfaithful in the marriage union, and then we bring disrepute to God's name. Do not steal. We respect the property of others. Do not bear false witness. We respect the character of others. Do not covet. We respect the neighbor's possessions. So here, even back at the Ten Commandments, we are to honor and respect God and one another. More than 50 times, Ezekiel says, "Ye shall know that I am the Lord," or "they shall know that I am the Lord." God trying to let His people know that He is the Lord. We must respect Him. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." That is God. We are to respect and honor Him. And one of the ways that we honor God and respect God is obedience. When we obey Him, obey His commandments, we honor Him. When God was honored and respected properly, Israel prospered. In the Old Testament, God fought their battles for them. God was for them when they honored and respected Him. But when God was dishonored and disrespected, God fought against them. And you know, that's a sad commentary on the life of Israel, the children of Israel, that God delivered them and worked with them and loved them and said He would fight their battles, and then you read that God was fighting against them. The reason is because they were not honoring Him. Man was created in God's image. Now we'd like to look that because we honor God and who He is, we also honor one another. Man was created in God's image. Genesis 1:26-28 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God made creation in 6 days. And it's very interesting to look down over there, Genesis 1, and see how He created things. And He made the plants. He filled the waters with fish. He put birds in the air. He made He made the animals, but he did something different whenever he created man. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It doesn't say that man received the soul. It says he became a living soul. So we see that man was created in God's image, and man is eternal. Now, I know we're going to die. Each one of us here are going to die. But our inner being, our soul, our spirit is going to live forever somewhere. That is different than the animals. The animals die and that's it. But we will continue to live forever. We are made in God's image, and that's a part of God that He has put in us, that we are eternal beings. We are made in God's image. God is not made in our image. Sometimes we try to make God in our image. We must remember that we are made in God's image. Everything we do reflects on His honor. Everything we do reflects on His honor, and every person is made in God's image. I don't know exactly how many people. There's like between, 6 and 8 billion people on the earth. Everyone is made in God's image. Let's never forget that. By disrespecting others, we disrespect the image they bear. And the Bible speaks a lot about honoring other people. I just have a few listed here. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all men." Does that leave out anyone? Ephesians 6:2 says, "Honor thy father and mother." 1 Timothy 5:3 says, "Honor widows." 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Leviticus 19:32 says, "Honor the face of the old man." 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Giving honor unto the wife." Now, the next scripture doesn't specifically say honor children, but I think we can get it from there, from the life of Jesus. One day when Jesus was busy teaching, preaching, and healing, some mothers brought their children to Jesus and wanted Him to bless them. And the disciples said, "Get him away from here. He's too busy." Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." In Mark 10, it says, "He took them in His arms and He blessed them." I believe He honored children. He took time for them. He considered them. He regarded them. That's what the whole idea of respect is. Then Jesus also left us an example. In John 8:49, Jesus said, "I honor my Father. I honor my Father." We must respect and honor God Almighty. We must respect and honor all people. And if we disrespect one, we will disrespect the other. God is worthy of all honor so that His name and His doctrine are not blasphemed. Do we believe that? Do we believe the way that we treat others reflects on God? I'd like to share an incident that happened in my life where, in a figurative way, I believe the Lord took me and paddled me. I was driving truck. I used to drive truck full time. I was driving truck coming out of New York State into Pennsylvania on Interstate 84. And there was construction ahead. And traffic was backed up for about 2 miles. And most people were doing what you're supposed to do, get in the right lane. And I was in the right lane. But right ahead of me, there was another truck, and he stayed right ahead of me because there was a Cadillac coming that wanted to butt in. Okay, so I stayed there, and he stayed right there, right up to the end. And then he just slid over in front of me, and the Cadillac had nowhere to go. And finally, I had to pull on the brakes to let him in. Then the traffic stopped. And then the Lord spoke to me. I didn't hear a voice, but I sensed guilt. Okay, it says, "If you were to speak to him about the Lord now, would he listen to you? Do you think he would listen to me if I would have, after I rode him the whole way up there, right to the end?" I don't think so. My actions reflected on God because I profess to be one of God's children. I think it's very important that we remember that. preserving that honor. We'd like to, we are to preserve that honor. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32, those of you who have Bibles. I'd like to read a few verses there. Moses was up on the mountain. The people said to Aaron, we don't know what happened to Moses. Like, he's only up there 40 days. So we don't know what happened to Moses. Make us gods, and we will say that these are the ones who brought us up out of Egypt. And God's telling Moses on the mountain that he needs to get down there because his people have sinned. And let's go to Exodus 32, verse 7. And the Lord God said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. This is an interesting passage, because God told, at the beginning, God told Moses to get down, because the people that you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Well, then Moses said, and he said, I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to make of you a great nation. God couldn't stand disrespect and dishonor. They had brought another gods up that took God's place. He couldn't handle that. But Moses said, remember your promise. Remember. What are the Egyptians going to say? What are the other people going to say? It says, remember your promise. What will the nations think of your name? Remember your name. Moses had the opportunity to be the father of a new nation, but he wanted God's honor. He was concerned about his name. Moses was very concerned about God's name. Leviticus 11:44 and 45 says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We preserve that honor and that respect for God by living holy lives. It's repeated. The same thing is repeated in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation there has the idea of conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness honors God's name. Unholiness dishonors God's name. Sometimes we shrink from that. We want to be Christian. We want to do what's right. But holiness, absolutely, absolutely. The other alternative is unholiness. See, sometimes we think there's some middle ground. I don't want to be too holy. I don't want to be unholy, but I don't want to be too holy. There's no middle ground. And if we're unholy, that brings disrespect to God's name. And I mentioned before, the holiness and obedience go together. Let's think a little bit about a couple of situations. God's headship order. God set up an order. And that order is God, Christ, man, and woman. We all are important. We all need to fulfill the place God has given for us. if we don't take our place, or if we step out of our place, we dishonor God. Men, we need to take our place as leaders. We're not dictators, but we are leaders. Women need to take their place. Each one of us take our place to honor God. Let's think about submission to authority in the home. Submit to the proper authority in the home, in the church, in the school, and in the government. It's interesting, last evening I shared about King David and how he respected and honored King Saul, even though it was a difficult situation and King Saul was wicked, yet he honored him. Do you know these? When Paul wrote about honoring all men and honoring people, Nero was the emperor. He was probably one of the most wicked emperors ever. He said, we are to honor all men. Honor the authority that's over us. If we as parents, teachers, board members, church leaders do not submit to, respect, and honor our authority, our children, students, and young people will not respect and honor us, and neither will they honor God. In Romans 1, it says, it talks about how people can know God through creation. Then it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They glorified him not as God means they didn't give him his proper place. They didn't respect and honor him. And then the rest of the chapter is almost disgusting to read because it gets worse and worse and worse. When man thinks he knows better than God and he takes his own way, there is no stopping to the evil that he can do. They knew God, but they did not respect him as God. I believe this is happening here in the West. What I mean by the West in our Western culture. Many places in the Eastern culture still respect the old man, still respect authority. But here, many in our society, we don't. I'd like to read a couple of verses yet in closing. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, asked Jesus a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we love God properly, like we should, we will respect and honor him. And if we do that, the second one is right close there. We are to love our neighbor. If we love our neighbor, we will do what's best for him. So we love God with all proper respect and honor, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. We respect and honor others out of respect and honor for God's name and his doctrine. Now, the doctrine is the teaching about God. Do you know that the Bible isn't read by everyone, but our lives are read. We have the opportunity to touch many lives by our lives. Is that life honoring, respecting God's doctrine and his name? I believe respect deserves a high place in every Christian's life. Every one of us needs to respect God. Remember the scenarios I said at the beginning. Sometimes, at least in the last two scenarios that I gave, we can get caught up in that. But let's remember, it's not the other person that's doing the wrong, it's us whenever we don't honor and respect properly. No matter what happens, no matter how people treat us, no matter how, if there are misunderstandings in our lives, sometimes working together in the school and in the church and in the home, there's misunderstandings and there are problems. But never disrespect and honor someone, no matter how much you disagree with them. If we do that, we end up stooping to dishonoring and disrespecting God. I'd like to close with 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Remember, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we need to honor and respect God. May God help us to do that as we go through our lives, that His name and His doctrine are not blasphemed.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.